You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, our live broadcast for the evening of Saturday, November the 9th. I'm calling in from Nashville, Tennessee, as I mentioned at the top of the program, where I attended and spoke to the Council of Conservative Citizens Board of Directors meeting. I gave them an update on some of the progress the show has made in recent months, and always great to be in the fine company of the members of the council, an incredible Christian and conservative organization, some of the best people you'll ever meet. And, you know, I'm actually, Keith Alexander, also joining me via telephone tonight. We'll be back in the studio in Memphis next week together. But, Keith, I am actually pacing the floor here in the ballroom that the meeting took place in. The last time I was in this room, this is the very same hotel in the very same room that we hosted the 2012 live remote broadcast. Of course, it was a different scene in here that night. The chairs were full. People were lining the walls. It was a rowdy crowd, a loud crowd, a raucous crowd. And, of course, you were here, Keith, as was Eddie Miller, and our dearly departed friend Bill Rowland. I'm looking at the table that Bill and I sat as we hosted that show, and it just it brings back memories to be in this room. That was the last live remote we did. And, well, that's where I am. And we've had a good time today, and I'm sure Bill, even though he couldn't be here with us, obviously, was looking down on us from the heavens, and hopefully listening to us as we carry on in his memory tonight. But this is where I am, and happy to be here, and happy to have you, Keith.
Well, thanks for mentioning Bill Rowland. I was honored to write an obituary for Bill in the last edition of the Citizens Informer. He was really a one-of-a-kind individual. He was a brilliant person. He was also a courageous and heroic person. He left us way too soon. He was in his mid-50s when he died of colon cancer. And quite frankly, you know, his life should be an inspiration to all of us. His activism, his refusal to take the easy way out. He knew what the truth was. He hated the things of this life that needed to be hated, and loved the things that needed to be loved. He was not only one of the stalwarts of the Council of Conservative Citizens, he was one of the founders, I believe, or at least one of the early additions to the Political Cesspool radio show. And his interviews, you know, that they are second to none. I don't know of anyone that could find and get the most out of an interview in the way that Bill Rowland could.
Well, Bill was living embodiment of a man's man and a great father and a Christian gentleman and a loving husband. He's everything a man could aspire to be. And I don't say that, you know, a lot of times when people die, they become deified, or they become saints just because they've passed. But Bill earned those words in this life, and anyone that had the privilege and pleasure of being able to listen to him during his time with this show, you know, knows that certainly. But, you know, it was no mistake that a man that great was a member both of the Council of Conservative Citizens. He served on the board, and a member of the Political Cesspool hosting staff. Men like that find places and media outlets like the council and like the Political Cesspool, and it truly is the best of the best. We got a couple more, Keith, that we want to get to before we get back to the news this hour, and that our copperhead friend Matt from New York has been waiting patiently. Matt, what can we do for you tonight?
Good evening, my cesspool family. How you doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing better now that you called in.
Fantastic. I'm calling from the lovely former European neighborhood of Astoria, Queens right now. And I just called in because you guys brought up an excellent point of the demographic changes, even within our own people, the so-called the liberals that are moving into the red state areas. And The only thing I can say that's going to stop this is have babies, folks. Have children. I'm not advocating out of wedlock childbirth, but I'm seriously going to say get busy, folks, because it's coming down the pike at us. And even though I'm here in New York, I'm investing in the South, and I fully intend one day to be down there in the great state of Arkansas.
So, well, listen, we hope you down here, Matt. What I was going to say,
friends are
Matt,
always welcome, Matt, here in the South. And I'll tell you, and I want people to know, and this was decided today, the next confab of the Council of Conservative Citizens, you're talking about investing in the South, maybe coming down. How about making a visit to Nashville in August of next year when the next meeting will be held, and we'll be doing a live remote broadcast, our first in two years.
Oh, absolutely. I'm fully planning on attending that, and CFCC is a wonderful organization, and I'm proud to be a member of it. Guys, it's always great talking with you.
Next August, but mark it down in pencil, and we'll remind you as the date gets closer. But anybody, certainly, Matt, we want you to be here, and all listeners. It's a rare opportunity, and they're few and far between when we do the live remotes in front of an audience. But, man, we never forget those shows, do we, Keith?
No, we don't.
Thank you very much, guys. I'm reminded of Dylan Thomas, who died in the city some years ago. Do not go quietly into that good night. God bless you all.
Hey, we're going to be here as long as Sam Bushman will have us. The political festival is going to keep cranking them out. And I can safely say we're going to be here for years to come as long as the support continues. And certainly, Matt, you're one of our supporters, and we're thankful for that. Thank you for calling. And, Keith, you know, you're talking about just the atmosphere and the electricity of a live show is palpable.
It's great. And, you know, Matt's comment brought something to mind. I was having a conversation with a fellow member of the Council of Conservative Citizens today by the phone, and we were talking about, you know, the demographic change in America that Matt was making a reference to. And, of course, it's important to have children, but for white people to have children specifically was his comment, but it doesn't do any good to have children if they grow up to be liberals. And it takes very careful nurturing of your children to prevent that from happening, because all of the institutions of our society now have been taken over by the left. Even the U.S. military now has leftists in charge. So what do you do? Well, the solution is the solution of the Council of Conservative Citizens and its predecessor organization, the Citizens Council. You have to have schools, and you have to have people, parents, who are racially aware and are not embarrassed to talk to their children about racial reality. We're going to have to have the same type of talk with our children that Trayvon Martin's parents and Obama and some of these others said that black parents have to have with their children. We need to make our children just as racially aware as any other race of children are if we are going to survive.
Keith, with that being said, we're going to take a break, folks, and we're going to keep the flamethrower at the ready when we return.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards and Keith Alexander here with you. We have a caller, Joe in Pennsylvania. We'll get to Joe in just a minute, if he will sit tight. First, I want to quickly cover a story because this is the last segment that we're going to have Keith on with us for this evening. And I want to get Keith to comment on this, and then we're going to take it to Joe before we go to the next commercial break. Keith, a recent story in the Los Angeles Times, the headline reads, Los Angeles Fights Plagues of Garbage. And this is on our website this week. And the story reads that in Los Angeles, a $1 million effort has been launched to try to clean up the wrappers, flyers, and discarded furniture littering the streets of Los Angeles and the attitudes of the people who dump. The story continues, a Los Angeles resident looked out his apartment window near MacArthur Park and admitted in defeat that he's grown accustomed to the view. Torn couches, dingy mattresses, broken dressers, and dusty headboards. The procession of rejected furniture piles high on the sidewalk, compliments of neighbors and whoever else decides to dump and run. I've seen junk stay out there a week, sometimes a month, the 24-year-old Los Angelino said. Everyone walks by and stares. No one does anything about it, hoping to put a stop to the rubbish. The city of Los Angeles launched a $1 million cleanup effort where the focus is on, as they call it, these immigrant-heavy neighborhoods. The tiniest refuse, candy wrappers, grocery bags, flyers, spread across the gutters like confetti, chairs, rugs, and other large pieces block the alleyways and sidewalks. The smelly optical cord that sometimes reaches 10 feet high, 10 feet high piles of garbage, saturated with overcrowded apartments and the tenants who pack their belongings and move with unusual frequency, the low-income area, quoting the story, is notorious among trash collectors because of how tough it is to keep clean. It's like weeds, said the superintendent of the Bureau of Sanitation. You clear up an alley one day, and the next week, sometimes the next day, is back to exactly how it was. Keith, this is one of our two biggest cities in the country, Los Angeles, California. And as we always said, and this was a gem that you put in my mind, and I said it on CNN, it's become a catchphrase for the show itself, you can't have a first-world nation with a third-world population. Now, the article there gives us some clues that it's immigrant-heavy neighborhoods. But, you know, I look and I think NASA has been discarded. NASA, we can't even go to the moon anymore.
You know, our people should be reaching for the stars, literally and figuratively. We should be advancing in science. We can't even fund the space program anymore because we have to keep the welfare state well-fed. And, you know, spending millions of dollars because illegal aliens use this as a third-world flop house, you know, that's not the America of our ancestors. And that is not progress. And that is not a better America than the ones our grandfathers and grandmothers had. Spending millions of dollars because you can't get these people to throw away garbage. I mean, that is a sick country. And you got a report here that won't even mention why these areas are so littered with filth. It's because that is a third-world manifestation in the flesh. And it's just absolutely sickening.
Well, you know, they talk about immigrant-heavy neighborhoods. Neighborhoods heavy with immigrants from Scandinavia or Western Europe or Eastern Europe or any European destination or white country are not the problem. The problem is non-white immigration, which is being actively but covertly promoted by our elites who are globalists, who think that it's a great travesty that white people expect to live under more prosperous circumstances than non-white people throughout the world. You know, it was the John Birch Society that used to say back in the 50s, beware of the one-worlders who think that there's no reason why Americans should live any better than Ecuadorians. That was shows that the nerds and the John Birch Society was supposedly populated exclusively by nerds back then, that the nerds are onto something. This is what's happened to American urban centers as the non-white population has grown and the white population has declined. We have the same problem here in Memphis. In Memphis, every spring, we have to get school students, white school students from all over the country to come and clean up McKellar Lake, which is where all of the storm sewers in Memphis empty into. It's a part of the Mississippi River system. And it's always clogged with debris because the predominantly non-white population of Memphis apparently has never learned that trash belongs in trash containers. They just throw them out into the street, into the curbs, into the gutters, where they eventually float down and find their way into McKellar Lake.
I was just going to say, it's like that in Detroit, too, Keith. We did that report from Fox News Detroit where you could literally walk over rivers in Detroit just by crossing track. You know, and so this is a manifestation of diversity. You know, diversity is supposed to be a strength. What is enriching about this? And, you know, this
I guess it's a strength. I guess it's a strength when you can walk on water, and apparently you can walk on water because it's so filled with trash in Detroit.
Well, you know, our country
that must be the strength from diversity.
Our country, unfortunately and regrettably, and I mean this, is not able to raise their standard of living, but they are able to bring ours down. And, you know, as we import these people who aren't assimilating and they're bringing their failed and flawed cultures with them, you know, we're becoming to look more like Tijuana. We're not ready, you know, they're not coming here and becoming great model Americans. They're just making our countries look like, well, trash in our cities.
Well, but, it's what I said before, James. I've said this for years. I said the people don't immigrate to America now to assimilate into America. They come to recreate their own societies and cultures under more prosperous circumstances over here. In fact, they're encouraged to despise America and American institutions and folkways.
Is Los Angeles, is Detroit, is East St. Louis, is Trenton, New Jersey, are they better off than they were in the 50s? You know, I'll let you answer that rhetorical question. We only have seconds before the break.
Obviously not. Let's see if we can get to our guests, if we could, our phone
call. Right, call Pennsylvania. It's all yours. Hello? Hello, John. You're on here.
Yes. Hey, gentlemen. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation that we face, and I wanted to interject a little bit of not very well-known history into what you talked about regarding the South. You know, I don't pretend to be you know, and I don't espouse, I can't pretend to espouse the Southern heritage, because I frankly I'm not from the South. I'm from the North,
right,
particularly the Northeast. But I have a sympathy and a very large respect for you guys down there, in that you guys seem to have a very large smattering of what used to be the American ethos. Are you grabbing what I'm trying to say?
I think we are, Keith. Why don't you take that and run with it before the music starts?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're very proud of our Southern heritage. We think that the South has nothing to be ashamed of, that they basically got it right. They knew what the Founding Fathers had in mind for this nation, and they tried to preserve that unsuccessfully when they encountered the force of the first maven of big government, Abraham Lincoln. Quite frankly, we would. When you think of what would have happened in subsequent American history if the South had been successful, we wouldn't have gotten involved in World Wars I and II. We would have had a constitutional republic that was true to the spirit of the original Constitution.
Please, we got to take a break, buddy. Hang on,
we'll be
right back.
Meddling in the world the way we have been. That's my feeling. Okay.
Well, I'll hang up here and listen on the internet.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you, brother. We'll be back with more right after this.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I got a little time, a little solo time with you here for the remainder of the hour. Keith Alexander off until next week, when he'll rejoin me in the studio in Memphis. Eddie Devomader Miller will be on deck also via telephone tonight at 8 o'clock for the third hour. But between now and then, I've got a few minutes for you. It's great to be back into the routine tonight, even though it's a little bit different than calling in, you know, from a remote location. Just to be back and covering the news. You know, we've had some special shows recently. Of course, the birthday show, which was a fun show. But I feel like Rocky Balboa. I'm getting a workout tonight, going through the news with Keith, you know, intellectually sparring with one another as we bring you the news. Sam Bushman, I want to circle back to something we were covering in the first hour, the phenomenon, the epidemic of violence at Chuck E. Cheese and the role that race plays into that. A pretty interesting report from ABC News talks about this, and I'm going to play the clip in its entirety. It's about 6 minutes. They talk about everything except the most obvious factor, and that, of course, is the R word, not racist, but race. Now, let's play the clip, and then we'll dissect it.
When you think of the national Chuck E. Cheese chain, you probably think pizza, arcade games, rides and slides, maybe even the mascot mouse. It's all directed primarily at kids. But then there's also alcohol served. And it seems it's the grown-ups playing dirty. A surprising number of adult brawls are springing up everywhere from Wisconsin to Pennsylvania. Why? ABC's Nick Watt looks into the wars being waged at the pizza playgrounds.
How sweet. A Toy Story cake, a shy smile, all his little friends and family gathered round.
Then bang, it all kicks off. Can you hear Happy Birthday in the background?
This happens, and not infrequently. Bare-fisted brawling at kids' birthday parties at family restaurants. Watch this. Comac, New York, late last month. A mass brawl at a Chuck E. Cheese during a kid's party. And it's the adults brawling. One woman holding a baby in one arm, swinging with the other. And there, that's a little girl trying to stop the grown-ups from fighting.
A lot of parents can be very stupid and ridiculous.
Disgrace. Shouldn't happen.
But it does. A lot. Type Chuck E. Cheese into YouTube and you can watch wide-eyed as multiple fights unfold. Cell phone footage of birthday parties gone very sour.
I'm in Chuck E. Cheese right now having lunch. Granted, it's a quiet time, but I'm quite enjoying myself. It's quite a nice environment. So, there's nothing wrong with Chuck E. Cheese itself, so what's making these people go nuts?
Barbie Clifton, a mother of five, was attacked at an Ohio Chuck E. Cheese during her daughter's birthday party.
And all I really remember is actually hitting the floor and my hair being just ripped and being kicked in the head. The lady was infuriated over my children being on the picture machine so long.
In Susquehanna, Pennsylvania, the cops were all too frequent visitors to Chuck E. Cheese.
We had about an 18-month period where we were there about 17 times.
July 27th at this Chuck E. Cheese in Brookfield, Wisconsin, two women were arrested following a mass brawl involving 20 people, sparked, according to the police report, by one child taking too long to choose a toy. Just 1 week later, at the same restaurant, a father and daughter were arrested after a fight at a family birthday party. Witnesses told police the man hit his 20-year-old daughter on the side of the face three times. Chuck E. Cheese wouldn't give us an interview, but they sent us a statement. While even one incident is too many, over 99.99% of approximately 65 million annual guest visits at Chuck E. Cheese's go without incident. And regarding those recent fights at Comac and Brookfield, they told us they have reduced showroom seating and party parameters in response to recent incidents.
You could prepare staff to see these tensions before they arise between children and step in.
We asked two psychologists to watch some of these fights on YouTube.
Do you find this behavior surprising?
Not really. Birthday parties are really emotional situations.
Heightened emotions, happy or sad, can quickly turn to anger, and people bring unseen stresses to the party. Imagine you're on a limited income and you've spent all you have to make your kid's day special.
If you have very few resources, and this is your one opportunity to publicly state or show how good a parent you are, then it's very stressful.
And that stress, says Stevenson, can quickly turn to violence.
The fact that your family is judging you on how well you do this, the fact that your children are looking up at you for a good time, the fact that they've been talking about it.
Into this crowded, noisy cauldron, throw in some alcohol to loosen tongues and quicken tempers, and you're asking for trouble. Try wedding and fight in YouTube, a reminder that families don't always get along.
When you had family members coming for a birthday party, and perhaps it was a divorce situation or a separation where there was already uneasy feelings between family members,
which are long-standing and for some people still ongoing, you really sometimes have a powder keg.
Chuck E. Cheese management realizes this is a problem. They told us they've spent $15 million to date on efforts to stop incidents like these. We are implementing an updated guest code of conduct, as well as rigorous market tests for additional security measures. But they could stop serving alcohol at kids' parties. Here's another Susquehanna melee. Whoever posted this claims one of the combatants was actually pregnant.
The more people that you have in a room, that means there are more people to use all of the games and activities. You can have conflicts about, you know, access to play.
Remember the movie Mad Max? They fought over limited oil. In Waterworld, they fought over scarce dry land. In a noisy, crowded Chuck E. Cheese, they often fight over limited access to the games.
We are that close to a breakdown in society that a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese can tip us over the edge.
You know, I'm always surprised by what tips us over the edge.
Hockey games, soccer games, political debates, even the Black Friday sales.
There's a crowd mentality and sort of a diffusion of individual responsibility.
In London in 2011, a peaceful demonstration against a police shooting ended in citywide mayhem that lasted days. The rules humans live by every day were forgotten in an instant.
And the way us humans are wired, you know what? This environment, a kid's birthday party, the noise, the crowds, the stress, Chuck E. Cheese has all the makings of a powder keg. And all it takes is one spark to make it explode. I'm Nick Watt for Nightline in Los Angeles.
All right. I mean, what a travesty of a report. That was an ABC Nightline report on Chuck E. Cheese. They mentioned alcohol, stress, crowds. They didn't mention the one thing that made sense, and that is that each and every one of these incidents has been an all-black affair, either blacks starting conflicts with whites or blacks fighting one another. Every single one of them had that same common denominator. They actually mentioned in that Nightline report the incident in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I shared with you more information than Nightline did when I read the official police report from that particular incident, in which the officer wrote, I made contact with the manager and inquired which people were causing the trouble. He directed me to two large groups of black and female African-American people. Every single one of the incidents and manifestations of violence at Chuck E. Cheese involved black people, either exclusively fighting one another or fighting other whites, or fighting whites. It's not alcohol. At my Chuck E. Cheese in Memphis, they allow, it's a policy, you can only have one beer per adult per visit. So I doubt that it's people getting drunk there, and I'm going to be willing to bet that is a nationwide policy by Chuck E. Cheese, one beer per person. But did you hear that, though? I mean, baby in one arm, swinging with the other. They only mentioned black one time in that report when they mentioned Black Friday. They brought psychologists in to try to get to the root problem of what's going on at Chuck E. Cheese. Me and Keith Alexander could have solved that, and we don't even have a degree in psychology. It's race. And, you know, all of these articles that you'll read in newspapers, and even that ABC Nightline reports, and it makes it sound as if there's some sort of a mystery at Chuck E. Cheese restaurants, some sort of a mystery trigger launches this violence, as if the company is somehow to blame, when in actuality the problem is being caused almost entirely by the same people who commit most other violent crimes. Blacks, even the company, which like all other corporations strives to be politically correct at all times, uses code words to make it clear just who's causing the trouble. Chuck E. Cheese, I'm reading from another article here, a call to Chuck E. Cheese Entertainment. Well, I'll read it for you when we come back. We're going to pick up right there when we return, folks. Stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Let's take care of your family and get it prepared, and help us take care of our brothers and sisters in arms. From now through Veterans Day on November 11th, FreezeDryGuy.com is offering 10% off everything for active duty, reserve, and retired U.S. military members and their families. No proof necessary, it's on the honor system. In addition, for every purchase you make during this period, we'll make a donation to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. Since retiring from the Army, the Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness and outdoor activities like camping. He's offering 10% off for active, reserve, and retired U.S. military and their families now through Veterans Day, plus donating to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation from every purchase. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or go to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We're spending a lot of time tonight talking about Chuck E. Cheese, but one, it's almost comical. It would be funny if it weren't such a serious problem. And the fact that ABC News has now reported on it as well, and we bring Chuck E. Cheese back to the crosshairs tonight because the most recent example of black violence occurred at a Chuck E. Cheese in Chicago just a few days ago, and then ABC reports on this, and they mentioned every possible cause except for the one that any rational thinking person would logically draw. And Chuck E. Cheese released a statement saying that they are consulting with local authorities and security officials to control situations in their urban high-density location. Now, the word urban, of course, is politically correct code for black. But Chuck E. Cheese spent $50 million, $50 million to try to find out why people brawl in their establishments so frequently. And they couldn't. They spent $50 million and still I haven't come up with the one answer that makes sense that we could have given them for free, and that's you're going to have this kind of stuff. This is very typical, unfortunately, of a large portion of the black community. And you know, how much longer can Chuck E. Cheese survive this kind of publicity? You can't have story after story after story in the national media, you know, from the Wall Street Journal to ABC and all of these other newspapers about fights and riots regularly breaking out in your chain of restaurants, especially one geared towards parents with kids that expect to stay in business. And I wrote this on the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. According to the Wall Street Journal article, they've already put armed security at some of their stores, like the one in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And the problems still persist. And it is, frankly, there's not much Chuck E. Cheese can do about it, of course, thanks to the civil rights laws on the book, especially the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which effectively outlawed free enterprise in America. If this were a free country, Chuck E. Cheese would be free to admit who they didn't want and ban who they didn't want for whatever reason. And, you know, if anyone points out that Chuck E. Cheese wouldn't have these problems if it weren't for blacks, you're just a racist and a bigot and a Nazi, just as anyone who points out that the World Trade Center, for instance, would still be standing if we hadn't allowed non-white immigration is a racist, a bigot, and a Nazi. But we've decided as a country, as a society, or at least the media has decided for us, that the trade-offs in freedom and safety are worth it for the glorious benefits of diversity, and this is just another benefit and manifestation of diversity that we see at Chuck E. Cheese, and we better just get used to it. But I wouldn't buy stock in Chuck E. Cheese, and we have a video at our website of another brawl in a Beaumont, Texas Chuck E. Cheese location. It's not just one area of the country. It's not just Chicago or Wisconsin or Los Angeles or New York or Memphis. It's Beaumont. It's all over. And it's just, again, a little bit funny because of Chuck E. Cheese of all places. I mean, my goodness. But anyway, folks, you know, we talk about these issues. And to the media and our detractors, they would rather bury their head in the sand and call us names for pointing out there is a common denominator here that needs to be discussed. Now, you're free to dismiss our conclusion that race is a primary factor in these brawls because, frankly, every brawl that's occurred at a Chuck E. Cheese has been a black-started event. You can dismiss that and say, you know, that's not the reason, of course. It's something else. But, you know, it should at least be debated to brush that under the rug with baseless and nonsensical name calling. Am I a racist for pointing out that I have eyes that work and I see that they, you know, blacks are involved in all of these things? Is that really racist? Let's go back again to what John Rocker said for Rolling Net Daily. That is a kindergarten like mentality to call people names for telling the truth. And we will continue to do it, of course, on this and any other issue. We will never back down from our fair, our standard fair, and why would we? I mean, we're growing. We're getting bigger all the time. The show now into its ninth year on the radio, and the audience just continues to explode. And I talked about that today in my remarks to the meeting here in Nashville of the Council of Conservative Citizens. You know, we're just riding a crest, it seems. More and more legitimacy and credibility. There seems to be a snowball effect beginning to generate with other organizations and media outlets speaking out on these issues. And, you know, certainly when we first went on the air, we were without question the only one on AM radio that were talking about this. Now you're beginning to see more and more each week. And as I said earlier in the program tonight, and as I've said several times, I think undoubtedly we've had a hand in that, thanks, of course, to the loyal support of our audience. But I was just reflecting on a few of the things
in my talk today, the fact about that we're in consistently now in the top 10 most listened to programs during our live time slot, according to organizations that audit that type of information. You know, top 10, folks. That obviously, it's a mainstream program with mainstream ideas that resonate with real Americans. You know, there might be 1% of media and journalists that wouldn't just dismiss us as a nasty name. But the people of America obviously are gravitating towards the truth that we tell. Otherwise, we wouldn't rank that high in the rating. And so we're excited that we continue to grow and we continue to place higher and higher on the list of most listened to shows during our live time slot. I talked also today about the fact that it has been very, this year more than ever before, that we have a guest on our show immediately before or in some cases after they appeared on Fox News or CNN or some of the other national television outlets. We've had a lot of guests like that, from Kali Basuti, even to people we don't agree with, like Martin Luther King's niece, for instance, and Sidney Leathers of Anthony Weiner fame, and obviously people that we do agree with on some issues, like Gary Sinise. You know, the fact that we're able to attract these guests, you know, we will always be a show that caters to our ideas. We were built to serve as a forum for people like Jared Taylor, who, as I mentioned in a recent program, should be on as a regular contributor to any of these national television networks. But because he speaks the truth so well, he's blocked out. Well, this show is always, first and foremost, going to cater to those people as our guests. And we're certainly never going to back off or apologize or compromise our principles or our ideology in any way. But it is rewarding to know that without any compromise, we can still attract mainstream guests above and beyond what we're trying to transform into the mainstream, which is, of course, pro-white activism and advocacy. And then, of course, I talked about the fact that here in January, another feather, I said we were beginning to get some of these people off. We're going to have a nice headdress here pretty soon. This can't be discounted, the impact that we are poised to make in January when we get on this nationally syndicated television series that I taped for a few weeks ago. I traveled and taped my part, and we're going to be very much a feature of that, offering the dissident point of view in terms of what passes for political talk right now. Again, it is our hope that we will be able to play a substantial role in taking the ideas of this radio show and making them fashionable and in vogue and contemporary once again. And I had a great time. I think I really performed well. And, if they come down to creative editing, which they could do, if they could snip things out of context and make me look quite bad. But if they stick to what I said and the context in which it was delivered, I think it was as good, if not better, than anything. I think my best performance on the political cesspool will pale in comparison to what you see on this television show. I was as polished could be. It almost felt like a supernatural force was guiding me. I'm typically my harshest critic when I watch some of my performances on national television. I'll critique myself and say, I could have done better there. I didn't have any of that with this. I really felt as though something possessed me that day. And, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It would be inappropriate of me to critique black culture if I didn't know blacks. I know them because I live here. It would be just as ridiculous for the people who have never met one living in the North to buy in or to say that they're an authority on the figure or on the matter based upon what they see on TV. I've lived around them all my life. I live in a majority black city. I've known some great black people, and we talked about that last week in the third hour, some people that worked for my family business. We had some black men who had worked for my grandfather's company attend my wedding, and it was a Confederate flag at the altar. We wanted that there. And they didn't mind. They don't mind. And they came, and
brought gifts and I hugged them, and they worked hard for my dad. You're talking about 70-year-old men that worked hard labor for 50 years for my parents' company, and I shared those stories. But also, I've seen, unfortunately, what passes for typical black behavior too, and I've seen it all too much, and we talk about that on the show. So I can offer dispassionate critique on black culture because I've seen the best and the worst, and I know what is the exception and what is the rule. And so when that comes out, folks, in January and airs to millions of people, I'm telling you, the groundswell will continue to build for the political cesspool. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in the third hour right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.